to be our song leader this morning, and our brother Wiley Edwards will lead us in our opening prayer. And our speaker this morning is our brother Skippy Norman. His sermon title this morning is "The Lord Stood With Me." The scripture for that sermon will take place from the New Testament book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 16 through 18. And our scripture reader this morning is our brother Tom Milligan. Presiding at the Lord's table will be our brother Charles Hopkins Jr. and brother Jerry White. And then in closing this morning, our brother Charles Hopkins Jr. will dismiss us in prayer. What was our first hymn this morning, Brother Haynes? Hymn number one, Makes It Easy. Hymn number one. That'd be our first song this morning. Before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne this morning, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us with another day of life here, Father, and another opportunity that on the first day of the new week, we can openly assemble together, Father, and we can worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning. Our Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning will be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father, and that all will be conducted decent and in order, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin. And opens the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The heartless offenders who truly obey, that moment they enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But surer and higher and greater will be that moment with you, as Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
I think I like that one verse I want to sing. Okay, for opening prayer this morning, please turn to hymn 110. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn. And let us sing.
Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you. We bow down before you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you.
Son of God, what a wonder you are.
Son of God, what a wonder you are. You bless my soul from sin, set the Spirit within. Son of God, what a wonder you are. What a comfort you are. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are. You lead us, you guide us, you live right inside us. Holy Spirit, what a comfort you are.
Let us bow. Our Father who are in heaven, we are so grateful and so privileged this morning, Lord, that we can sing songs, that we can make sweet melody in our heart because you loved us so much, Lord, and we are grateful and thankful that we can give you all the glory for all of the ways and means that you provide for each and every precious soul. For we thank you, Father, for in the beginning you created the heaven and the earth. And then you seemed fit to create man in your own image and then woman. Showing us, Lord, your greatness and your power, that when we close our eyes at night, we wake up in the morning, we can see your glory. The world in which we live and all of the ways that you provide for all families and all of mankind. We thank you, Father, for this avenue of communication that we can pray to let you know how much we appreciate you. More important, Father, we can give you praise, we can give you honor, and we can give you glory for how much you loved us by allowing your Son to go to the cross and to give his life. So that one day, Father, we will have a home in heaven with you. We thank you, Father, that we can praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the best of health and strength that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. And this morning, Father, we have many, many precious souls that are on our prayer list, the names that were mentioned. We thank you, Father, that they have your word to stand on, that your word provide encouragement and comfort, that they know, Lord, that they can always call upon you to give them strength when they are weak, to give them joy when they are sorrowful. And we thank you, Father, that you will continue to bestow your grace and your mercy upon each and every one of them. And Lord, we thank you for the lesson that Brother Norman has prepared. We're so grateful and thankful that we have ears to hear your word, to let it strengthen us and to meditate on your word. More important, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that gives us the strength and the encouragement to know that no matter all of the things that is going on in the world today, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We pray, Father, that what we say and we do this morning will find favor in thy sight. For it is in Jesus' name we praise you, we give you honor and glory. Amen.
Prepare in mind, taking the Lord's Supper this morning. You're pleased to hymn book number 959, 959. We'll sing the first, second, fourth, and the fifth verse. 959.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Starting at verse 19, you can read of one of the many accounts of Jesus' suffering that he endured on the cross. You know, we were aware that, you know, how he was mocked, you know, the pain that he had to endure, and just ultimately given his life. And he did all this, and he was a man that was without sin. He did all this, and he was the Son of God. So we know the power that he had. You know, no man could cause him harm if it wasn't through his own will. And he did all this to set us free from the punishment of sin that we all deserve. So we all have to keep that in mind whenever we gather together every first day of the week, and we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now that's where our minds should be at. That's what we should be reflecting on each and every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper. We have before us, we have the two emblems, we have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together, to gather together on this first day of the week, to be able to come together in fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to come together and to reflect and to clear our minds, Heavenly Father, to reflect on that sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, to know that he was without sin, Heavenly Father, and that he was still willing to give his life for this world, because he loved this world so much, Heavenly Father, to give his life so that we would have that hope of eternal salvation, Heavenly Father. And we just pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, which represents thy Son's body, that we do so in a manner that would be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's bow in prayer, thanking God for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you for the wonderful blessing of your Son's death on the cross on our behalf. He paid the sin that we might live. Father, we thank you that the blood that was shed on that cross washes us whole. and cleanses us from all sin. We thank you that we're able to remember you in this way each first day of the week, for it brings to mind the wonderful gifts that comes forth each and every day for us, knowing that we are your children. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, we ask that the remembrance floods our souls and makes us joyful and ready to be able to tell others of your Son's saving grace. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you raise your hand. I see no hands. We have another portion of our works of service, which is giving. Now, this is an opportunity for us to give back a portion of just many blessings that our Heavenly Father has given us. And also, it's very important that we have the right mindset. This is a joyous occasion to be able to give back and to show our appreciation to our Heavenly Father. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to give back. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for thy love, Heavenly Father, for your continuous guidance, your watchful eye, Heavenly Father, to know that all that we have, Heavenly Father, all that we possess, that is through your kindness, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you have provided for us this life, Heavenly Father. Give us the opportunity to provide for those that we love, Heavenly Father. For all the skills, for all the will that you put in our hearts each and every day, Heavenly Father. And we just so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together, to be able to give back, to show our appreciation, Heavenly Father, for thy love and for thy blessings, to give back to further thy work, Heavenly Father, to continue to help this congregation go, Heavenly Father. And we pray that as we give, that we'll do so in a manner that it will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Sermon title to today's lesson is The Lord Stood With Me. And the scripture reading is taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brother Norm.
So I say good morning. Surely God has once again spared our lives. He's been good to us, allowed us to be able to wake up this morning, to be able to come out to the house to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here and those that are calling in on our conference call. We welcome you as well. We just want you to continue to pray for Sister Karen Edmondson. We talked to her only yesterday and didn't notice she was had been in the hospital, but she's at home now and she's just asking for prayers of the church. So they just continue to pray for her. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day, and Lord, for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here and those who have called in to our conference call. We ask you, Heavenly Father, at this time to be with Sister Karen and continue to be with her health and give her the things that she needs, Heavenly Father, and just to help her to just continue to look to the hills from which cometh her help and strength. And now, Heavenly Father, is about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Before we look at that, you have to understand why Paul is now addressing what he is about to address. When Paul is writing this letter and these words, Paul is in prison. He has been charged with insurrection against the Roman Empire. And so he has spent almost 4 years in prison. He spent 2 back in Israel and nearly 2 more in Rome. And so he has already appeared in court at least one time. And now the court is waiting for more evidence to arrive from his accusers. And his friends did not come to rescue Paul, did not come to defend or support Paul. How many times have we've been in Paul's shoes? Here we see that he has been abandoned by his friends. Incriminating words are being spoken of him. But yet, he stands firm in his faith, knowing that the Lord is by his side. Oh, we should have such faith like this when friends, when loved ones abandon us, when incriminating words are spoken against us, that we stand firm in our faith, knowing that the Lord is on our side. And so he writes these words that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 through verse number 18. And what we're going to find and what is going to be revealed in these few passages is the way that Christianity works, and it makes a difference in our lives. So the first thing that we see within this particular text is in verse number 16, and that is that God gives us grace to face the disappointments of life. Now notice verse 16. Paul says, at my first answer, defense, no man stood with me. No one came to my support. But all men forsook me. In other words, everyone deserted me. And then he said, may it not be helped against them. See, one way that Christianity works in our lives is revealed when we realize that God gives us grace to face the disappointments in life. Paul says, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Do you hear the disappointment in his words? Back in verse number 10, he wrote Demas because he loved the world. He has forsaken me. He has deserted me and gone back to Thessalonica. What is Paul talking about here? Paul is talking about how some of his friends had told him that they would stand with him in front of a judge, but they didn't. Paul's life was on the line. But in the moment of need, not one of his friends made it. Maybe this morning, maybe you have felt the way that Paul felt. You trusted your heart with someone and they gave it back to you in little pieces. This is a different kind of hurt because it comes from someone you trust. I believe that these people that didn't show up, they hurt Paul more than Alexander. The more intimate the relationship, the more devastating the hurt is. We all, no doubt, can identify that some folk will stand with you until the going gets rough. Sometimes you can't count on people that you expect to be able to count on. They will let you down. Paul says no one came to his aid. How do you handle that kind of disappointment? How do you handle that kind of heartache? Well, let's notice how Paul handled this. And then we see how ultimately He had learned it from Jesus. Now notice. Notice how he handles it in verse 16. He prays that it may not be laid to their charge. May it not be held against them. That's an amazing attitude. When somebody has forsaken you, when somebody has abandoned you, when somebody has hurt you, you say, may it not be held against them. He doesn't just release his right to take revenge. He says a prayer for them, hoping that their sins won't be held against them. Paul didn't come up with this idea of his own. He learned it years earlier from Stephen. You remember Stephen? While holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen to death when Stephen was dying, you remember what he says? He looked up to heaven and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Well, where did Stephen learn this? He learned it from Jesus hanging on the cross. Jesus looked down and he saw those who had driven nails in his hands and in his feet, and those who were laughing and those who were mocking and cursing at him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The clear message is this. When disappointments come, a Christian forgives. Let me say that again. When disappointment comes, a Christian forgives. And if you don't forgive, then bitterness begins to grow, and it seeks its tentacles deep into your life. It can eat you up. It was Dale Carnegie who wrote, when we hate our enemies, we give them power over us, power over our sleep, power over our appetites, power over our happiness. They would dance with joy if they knew how much they were wearing us. Our hate is not hurting them at all, but it's turning our days and our nights into hellish turmoil. And that's true. When we harbor bitterness, you see the fruit of unforgiving heart is bitterness. And we become more and more bitter, more and more angry, and as a result is that we virtually destroy ourselves. We're not hurting anybody else, but we're killing. We're hurting ourselves. But the message of Christ is that when people disappoint us, we pray for them. That's what Paul does. He prayed for them. Lay not, don't let this be held against them. So it was Jesus, you remember, who taught us what to do in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27 and 28. Love your enemies. Do good to them who hate you. Bless them who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. We don't like that scripture, because we want to do the opposite. And this scripture calls us to change our way of thinking. And so it's not easy. And the chances are we won't do it on our own. And so that's the reason God gives us grace, and we ought to thank God for that. He gives us grace. God gives us grace to face the disappointments of life. And that's how, and that's the way it works. And so first of all, we see in verse 16 that God gives us grace to face the disappointments of life. The second thing that we see is in verse 17. And that is, God gives us strength to face the trials of life. See, he gives us grace to face the disappointments in life, but he gives us strength to face the trials in life. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me. And so, in other words, he said, listen, the Lord stood by my at my side, and he gave me strength so that through me the message might be proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. See, what we see here is that this message is like a farewell speech. It's a farewell speech that Paul is using to be an encouragement. It's a lesson being lived out, not just read and spoken. And that's indeed what we are called to do this morning. We are to be a living message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we cannot do that if we carry a chip on our shoulder, if we harbor unforgiveness toward anyone, if we allow pride to overtake us, if we allow lust and material wealth to attract us, if we withdraw from God when it appears that we might suffer with him. We can't do that. What we are called to do is to be an epistle. Because people, they might not read the word, but they read you. They see you. They see your lifestyle. They see how you are living your life. And when you are going through your trials, and when you are going through your problem, when you going through your disappointment, they look at you and see how you handle it. And you ought to be able to tell them that the Lord gives me strength. The Lord is by my side. He is helping me through this. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, I would be losing my mind. But the Lord is giving me strength to make it through the trials that I'm going through. And so Christianity works as God gives us strength to face the trials of life. Notice what Paul said. He said again, the Lord stood at my side. What it means that the Lord was there. All my friends deserted me, but the Lord was right there at my side. And as I was going through this trial, he gave me strength that I needed. And so how do you forgive when you are mistreated? You choose to release it. You pray for your enemy. And then the most important that you need to understand, church, you recognize that God is standing with you. And God has the final word. God has the final say. And so Paul concedes that the people he was counting on let him down. But he said, it's the Lord. The Lord stood with me, and he gave me strength. And I truly say that the Lord has given me strength to face my trials in life. And I believe we can all testify that the Lord has given you strength to face the trials in your life. But I want us to be careful to notice what it doesn't say. All right? It doesn't say that the Lord saved Paul from the trial. That's important for us to realize. Because some people seem to think that when we become Christians, there will be no more trials in life. And suddenly, everything will become a bed of roses. Everything is going to be wonderful. God is going to make us rich, and God is going to make us successful, and God is going to make us healthy, and nothing will go wrong from that moment on. I got news for you. The Bible never teaches that. God did not save Daniel from being cast in a lion's den, but he was with him and he delivered him. He didn't save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being cast in the fiery furnace, but he was there with them, delivered them. He didn't save David from the valley of the shadow of death, but he walked through the valley of the shadow of death with him. See, here is what the Bible teaches. It teaches that when we become a Christian, we may still experience the hardships and the trials of life. What do you mean? Christians still get cancer. Christians die of heart attacks. Christians have automobile accidents. Christians loses their job. Christians experience heartaches just like everybody else. There is no immunity. And the hardest of all is that there isn't always an explanation. Only this promise: I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5. In Isaiah 43 in verse number 2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. See, God doesn't say that we won't pass through the waters or the rivers. They won't overflow or the fires won't come. But God does say that when the floods do come, when the flames of life lick at us, we will not be set ablaze or swept away. Why? Because he says, I'll be with you. How many of us believe this morning that while I'm going through what I'm going through, how many believe that God is still with us? And we got to believe that, church. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'm going to be right there with you, going through what you're going through. And that ought to be an encouragement to all of us. And so what we find in verse 16, he gives us grace to face the disappointments of life. In verse 17, he gives us strength to face the trials of life. And then in verse 18, he gives us hope for the end of life. Oh, I think that's good. He gives us hope for the end of life. Look at verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord will rescue me, Paul says. He'll rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Christianity works because the Lord gives us hope for the end of life. Our hope is not in just some pipe dream, but is founded and grounded on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen. Listen to Paul. When it comes to the end of his journey, in verse number 6, go back to verse number 6 of chapter 4. Listen to what he says. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." As I look back over my life, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, y'all see that hope at the end of life? Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. You gotta stay with it to the end. And so, church, here's how it works. Through Jesus, God gives grace for times of disappointment. He gives us strength for the trials of life. And then he gives us hope at the end of life. So if your life really isn't working, if Jesus is not your Savior, if he is not your friend, I want to encourage you this morning to come to him. Come unto him, come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. You got to hold out to the end. You got a race to run. You got to understand that one day we all got to stand before that great God of heaven. And so the question comes, do you have a crown of righteousness that's laid up for you? If the Lord was to come right now, tell you time on earth for you will be no more. Let me ask you a question. Would you be ready? Are you ready to face God? If this is the last time that you have upon the face of this earth, and within, if you are not ready to face him, God has given you this opportunity to get it right. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then go down in the water of the grave and baptism for the remission of your sin. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have any problems. You're not going to be going through anything. You're still going to go through it. But know this. Now you got the Lord on your side. He says, I never leave you, nor forsake you. If you're here, you're a Christian. Look within your life. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? If not, now is the time to make it right. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Tomorrow may never come. The only time that you have is right now. What will your answer be? Let us stand.
Jesus, I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust in him. His presence may be. Jesus, I surrender all. I give.